Welcome to Intentional with Dr. Faye. Intentional is the radio show dedicated to opening the gateways of knowledge into a deeper, more committed way of living your heaven on earth. You will learn how to build a relationship with God that will radically change the way you live your life forever. You will discover that you're not alone in this journey. You have access to eternal life now and all that it offers. Just listen as Dr. Faye shares the gospel to empower, motivate, inspire, and encourage you to live an intentional life.
Heaven has a protocol. There are some things that are so deep and still remain somewhat of a mystery to us, because we as human beings, we're so conditioned to live outside of our bodies. We're conditioned to live in a world that's full of chaos and confusion. Therefore, we do not completely understand what it's like to have a world free of confusion. As a born-again child of God, as a believer, depending upon scriptural principles to lead, guide, and direct my life, I understand, know, and realize that not everyone can receive spiritual principles. Jesus said in his teachings that we would know the truth and the truth would make us free. Make in terms of liberate, take the chains off, take the blinders off our eyes and unstop our ears so that we can clearly hear what Spirit is saying to us. Holy Spirit is God's Spirit living and dwelling inside of earthlings, inside of these earthen vessels. And I know that many people reject that thought because they've never experienced Him. And I can say once you have truly experienced God, you've truly experienced His nature, His presence, His anointing, there will be no doubt in your mind that He does exist. And I hear people who are quick to say, I don't believe in traditional Christianity. I was reading a story recently of one major CEO who employs tens of thousands of people around the world, who confesses that he is not supportive of current day Christianity. Now, I don't know who he met, and I don't know what encounters he's had in his life to bring him to such a conclusion. However, anyone who has had a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ can never come to that conclusion. I am not speaking of some hoodoo, voodoo, witchcraft, some type of mystical unknown, but I am speaking of Christ who's alive, the one who created this world, our Father, who is truly our Father, and the one who loves us so much. The one who wakes you up, you don't just wake yourself up. You don't just move your body on your own. Surely you know that there is some force, some energy, power, the Godhead inside of you doing this. And you cannot do anything without Him. So today's teaching on intentional, we continue the journey as we've begun a couple of weeks or so ago. Through my new book, Our Father's DNA. It is the first print of this book, and you will find as you go through some interesting quotes, some interesting moments of inspiration that will make a good read along with your scriptures, that you would like to take a look at what's written in the scriptures and compare it to what we have stated in this, what I have stated in this book. Heaven has a protocol. There is an order to things. In every culture, there's a certain protocol. If you go into certain parts of communities, you will find a certain protocol in that community. I remember when I lived in Philadelphia, and hello, Phillies. I remember when I lived in Philadelphia, and I heard the conversation, South Side, North Side, West Philly. You know, I heard these conversations and how the city was totally divided, even though it was one city. And you may experience that in your communities where south side, north side, west side, east side, across the track, down the street. One community in which I lived, they had a place they called the Bottom. I thought, oh, Lordy, who names a community the Bottom? Do you want to visit? Do you want to live there? No. A place called the Bottom. Well, guess what was going on in the Bottom? All of the Bottom stuff, all of the things that will operate in the bottom of the world, in the abyss, all those kinds of things. And I thought, who puts the label on these places and crown these people with this label and this spirit that now becomes prevalent? Because whatever we call a thing, we're so powerful that whatever we call a thing, that's what it is. It's so easy for people to go after names and to try to define something that they have no idea how else to explain it. So they put a label on it so that we can package it, right? So they package this community in a name called Bottom. Some of you may have heard of that. Maybe you live in a community where there's a place called the Bottom, and you don't frequent there. You just hear about it on the news. So different cities, different communities also have cultural boundary lines. And inside of those lines, there are different ways of seeing and being, different ways of behavior, different ways of thinking. And one side tends to think that they're better than the other side. One side tends to think that, you know, they're more superior. We can take that to cities and suburbs, and people who move to the suburbs were moving to try to get away from other cultures, seemingly, so that they thought that they were superior. Oh, those people have moved into my neighborhood. Those people are moving next door. There goes the neighborhood, because those people are moving in. In heaven's protocol, when he moves inside of you, it gives you a new way of being. It gives you a new way of looking at life. You begin to look at life through different lenses and not through what you were indoctrinated to see and what you were culturalized. You remember, I made up that word. I don't think it's in the dictionary at all, but there were no words in the dictionary until they were in the dictionary. But you were culturized or indoctrinated to believe a certain way. And look what many of us have had to encounter just to break the curse, break patterns over our lives. And we found ourselves doing things because our parents did. We do things because somebody else said that this is the way we should do it. This is the way we do it down here. When I went to California, this is the way we do it in California. When I went to New York, oh, this is New York. This is the way we do it in New York. You're a New Yorker, or in Philly or Washington, wherever you are in the world, this is the way we do it. Why? Because it is a sense of culture. It is a sense of belonging. It is a sense of community. And people want to feel like they belong. Whenever someone goes to visit a church, one of the first things that they sense, pastors and members, one of the first things people are looking for is, do I belong here? Do I have a sense of being? Do I have a sense of belonging? Do I feel comfortable and safe in this place? If they don't, they don't stay. They don't come back for another visit. Because why? They did not feel welcome. They did not feel a sense of belonging. In the kingdom of God, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there is something that happens that is so powerful that it's difficult to articulate. You just kind of have to be there. But once you're born again, you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will experience not only a change on the inside, you will begin to experience things looking a bit different around you. And I know whatever ethnicity you are, you'll still be that, whatever education. I mean, nothing changes like that on the outside, but the way you view life will begin to change. You'll begin to have a shift, and you'll see life through different lenses, no longer through your mother or father, your biologicals, but now through the spiritual lens of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is so wonderful, such the Father heart of God that lives on the inside of us to lead, guide, and direct us, to show us, take from the Father and show it to us, so that we no longer feel alone or feel absence from the whole of the universe. We'll feel the oneness. We'll feel the fullness of God. And even if you do live alone, you will not feel alone. because Christ is there, resident on the inside of you. Back to, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, look, let me show you this. All things have become new. You are a new created being on the inside. You are a new species of being that never existed before. So there is a way that you have to acclimate this new species of being to heavenly things. There is a way that you must come into the knowing of what heaven is all about. The kingdom of God now being resident within you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now that you have access to the kingdom of God, how do you learn how to live from that place of heaven? How do we learn how to walk and talk and be heaven beings here on this earth while we're still in this human experience? How can I be heaven on earth? Because after all, that's what Jesus really came to do, to show us the Father. He came to show us the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is within us. He said, don't look up for it, look within, for the kingdom of God is within us. He wanted us to see how beautiful heaven really is on the inside of us. That's why he gave us his peace that passes understanding. He gave us his joy unspeakable. He gave us love, a never-ending, unfailing, uncompromising love, because God is love. He provided for us an entitlement of inheritance. Yes, even though we really didn't deserve it, he wanted us to know that he did it for us anyway through the blood of Jesus Christ. So now we have access to the kingdom of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have everything that heaven has now. We have in the future, that most people think is just in the sweet by and by, over here, over there, over yonder. It's in the right here and the right now that we have access to this beautiful thing called heaven, which is spirit. It's the place where God dwells. Yes, yes, and yes. And since God dwells in heaven and God dwells in us, then heaven is now. Heaven is accessible now. You don't have to leave your body to get to heaven, but you do have to be born again. You must become a born-again child of the Most High God to have access to all that heaven is. He said, Dr. Faye, I hear you talking, girl. I hear you talking, sister. But I know some Christians, they are hellacious as hellacious can be. They are not living from that place that you're speaking of. They're hellions. I heard that word someplace. They're hellions. They continue to talk about people. They always stir up strife, and they have all these issues with them, yet they go to church every Sunday. They go to church every Sunday. They pray long prayers at church. They carry this Bible in their car, and they have on their t-shirt with the cross, you know. They got their bumper sticker, but they're hellions. They continue to do all of the things that other people who don't go to church do. So Dr. Faye, those are the Christians I know. All I can tell you about that experience that you're having is that don't you be like that. Let that be your teacher, that when you, as a born again Christian, you see that behavior, put a check mark and say, let me check myself to make sure that I am not doing those things that I despise. Let me not become the very thing that I despise. Let me learn how to walk before God. Let me learn how to walk in integrity. Let me learn how to love from a loving place, give from a giving place. Let me learn the mercies of God and the forgiving power of God that can operate in my everyday waking, walking, talking life. Because if he operates within me in my everyday waking, walking, talking life, then I won't go down that path, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way, you know, that leads to salvation, but broad is the way that will lead to destruction. So we don't want to be willy-nilly all over the place and trying to figure it out on our own. We have a source to go to, and that is our Father who loves us. Out of my book, Our Father's DNA, I teach you that. And of course, you can get the book on Amazon or here on the network at AmericaOutloud.com/Dr. Faye. And certainly you want to get you a copy and get a few copies and share them with your friends. So we want to go back just for a moment. I want to take you to this place in this scene. Here it is. is at night. Jesus had just finished teaching. And of course, every time he taught, there were some mixtures in the group. You know what mixtures are? There are people who are there for good reasons, and then there are people who are just there, okay? They're there to start strife. They're there to cause problems. They're there to judge, to criticize, or, you know, elbow their neighbor, says, did you hear that? I don't believe that. You know, those people, and you may have some sitting on the pew next to you during service, or you may have people and friends who, you know, all they do, they're just a vessel of negativity. So Jesus had mixtures in the audience. And in this mixture of people, there were those critics, and there were also those people who had been teachers, who were teachers of his day. And they were skilled in the law of Moses. They were also skilled in their own law. You know, people interpret law, so then they make their own law. You know how that goes, right? So they had interpret the law, and then they made their own law out of the law. So then anybody who didn't follow their law, they considered a sinner, worthy of death. They stoned people. Oh, it was all kinds of things that were going on then, you know, much like what goes on today. People get hurt, innocent people. But Nicodemus was a teacher, and you heard that in previous teachings. Nicodemus was a teacher of the law, and so he knew, he had intellect. He was very intellectual. He was a man of great means, and he waited until the crowd died down so that he could find a way to Jesus as a sidebar conversation. So he comes to Jesus at night. He was Nick at night, and he came to Jesus and he said, hey, Rabboni, Rabbi, I know that you are a teacher, and I know that all of these things that you're doing can only be done by God, but I don't understand this about this kingdom of God. And Jesus said to him, he says, Nick, you're a teacher in Israel, and you don't understand these things, because everyone that is born of the Spirit is spirit, but he that is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again. I'm paraphrasing a little bit to move forward here, because much of this has already been taught, and it's certainly inside of the book, Our Father's DNA. So Jesus is telling him, Nicodemus, get a grip, get a revelation here. I want you to understand that you must be born again, regardless of how many degrees you have, regardless of how intellectual you may be, and how many followers you have on Twitter, and how many Facebook friends you have, and how many people have liked your comments, and how many views you've got on your video. Regardless of that, Nicodemus, you must be born again. I'm giving you a revelation. You must, no one gets exempt from this. You must be born again. And then he breaks it down and said, in order to see and in order to enter the kingdom of God, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus gets a bit confused because he's an intellect. So he gets confused. Intellectual people often get confused about simple things. So Nicodemus said, how can a man enter again into his mother's womb? I'm an old man now. I'm an adult. I'm a grown man. How am I going to go back into my mother's belly and be born again? Jesus said, oh, shucks. Boy, let me tell you, I'm not talking about that kind of born again experience. I'm telling you that you've got to be born of the Spirit. You've got to be born again. And then we'll find in John 3:16, where it says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I'm telling you that everlasting life does not begin when we leave these bodies. Everlasting life begins when you receive his body, his death, burial, and resurrection into your heart as a Christian, as a born-again child of God. I'll take a pause, but we're not finished yet. We're going to work with this, and I'll be right back.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep, but it doesn't have to be that way. there haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
In St. John 1 and 17, the Bible says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." What is grace? Grace is God's unmerited, undeserved, and unearned favor. So even though I did not deserve favor, what is favor? Favor is making me special, doing some specialness for me, giving me undeserved attention, doing things for me that there is no way I could have done for myself. Do me a favor. Can you do me a favor? God did us a favor when he sent Jesus Christ. He gave us grace, even though we didn't deserve it. It was by grace that we were saved. We couldn't save ourselves. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, when I hear Christians or religious people just so pious and so just religious, that's what it is, and hard-hearted and condemning people and sending everybody to hell that's not in their group, I know that's not Jesus. That's not the gospel of the kingdom of God. I don't care how many members are in that church and how many people are on those pews or who bought the pews. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is with loving kindness. He continues to draw. It's not about a click that you got a club over here and you got your windows boarded up so nobody can look in your building, or you have to meet in a tent in the back of the woods someplace because you're not accepted in society and you think you're so holy. That's why you're not accepted. You're not accepted because you're weird. That's away from God. When the Spirit of the Lord moves, there is liberty. When Christ comes, there's a manifestation of his goodness, of his glory, of his wonderful love and passion and prayer and power working in us and through us, so that he is present more than we are. Yes, let me say that again. So that he is present more than we are. You know, the face that you see is not the face that's staring through me. Yes, yes, and yes. The one who's looking back at me is not really the one who's looking back at me. It's he who's living in you that's looking back at me. And it's he who's living inside of me that's looking back at you. Well, Dr. Fay, please help me to understand this. I can. Let's take the baby steps. You must be born again. You have to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. You must say, "Lord Jesus, I don't know if this lady is off her rocker, but I'm going to try. If you will come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior, I promise you that I will start reading that Bible that she keeps talking about." There you go. You do that, and you will see how simple he is. He's simple it is. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. If it's not easy and not light, it's not God. No, it's not. You know, the devil drives people too. God is not the only one driving us or wanting us or encouraging us to do things. There's a demonic spirit that wants to destroy us, take our lives before time. Not everybody who passes away early is going in the Lord. Some people are just destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Some people leave here far too early. You know that. I know that. But we don't want to be one of those, do we? We want to live a full life because God promised us that. Triple digits, right? This grace, this unmerited favor, undeserved favor, comes, you know, some such good enough, more than good enough, more than enough, oh, more than you can imagine. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the dunamis, the power. You know, I do a number of shows across the network, and I have to tell you, this is my favorite time. I get to share this message of faith. I get to share a message of hope and inspiration to people who are lonely and destitute, desperate and in fear and are needing an answer. So it is a pleasure to come to you every week with a fresh manna, with fresh word from the kingdom of God. This grace, this unmerited, undeserved, and unearned favor that we all have access to. I'm so glad that when I look at grace, there's no racial profiling. When I look at grace, there's no Democrats, no Republicans, liberals, or conservatives. There's no gender. There's none of that. It's just spirit. Thank God for spirit. That when I look at grace, I can see the unmeasurable love, the unforgiving power of God. I cannot even begin to measure it because it is so deep and so wide. We thank God for that. This grace and truth that came by Jesus Christ. And when we look at truth, many people think they know the truth. There are so many people who will say, yeah, you're telling the truth. That's the truth. That's the truth. But the truth is this. Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father but by me. So when we consider truth, yes, we consider truth. Truth is the personage of Jesus Christ. So in order to know truth, you must know Jesus Christ. Anything else is not truth. Another thing about truth, truth has character, has characteristics, and we have to look for it. Truth makes people free. You would know this truth. Know is an intimate word, as Adam knew his wife Eve. You will get to know. You will have relationship. In this relationship with him, you would know truth. You would know him, and he will make you free. And he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Is free in every area of life. Therefore, you're not in bondage to culture. You're not in bondage to your paycheck. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You're not in bondage to your location. You're not in bondage in your marriage. You're not in bondage in your job. You're not in bondage in any area of your life because you are mentally, emotionally, psychologically, financially, all seven levels of mankind. You are completely free. You are completely whole. Now, it doesn't mean that everything is so perfecto in your life, but what it does mean is that you have access to heaven. You know where to go for answers. You know who to turn to. You know how to turn. You know how to repent, because that's what repentance is. It's a turning. You know how to turn back to God. Maybe you did. You stepped off into an area that now you regret. Maybe you haven't taken care of your body for the last 40 years, but now you're saying, Father, I repent. Help me get it back on course. I thank you for healing. I thank you for the manifestation of your goodness and your mercy. I thank you for grace. Your healing power has come through the grace of God. And it's not because I deserve to be healed. It is because it came with the cross. My health came with the cross. Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. You see, that's part of salvation. To know that Jesus died on the cross, he made us whole. He said it was finished. All of it was finished. Everything that the first Adam separated us from, the last Adam, who's Jesus Christ, hooked us back up. He redeemed us. That's what redemption is. He's bought us back. He reconciled us, which means he delivered us. He brought us back. He hand delivered us back into the fold of God through salvation. Amen. That's good teaching this Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon when you listen at 4 o'clock for the encore, right? So pass it on. This grace and this truth that has come by Jesus Christ, it is part of the protocol so that we don't have to just stumble around in life anymore. We do have answers. I think about this quite often. It is not the questions that bother us so much. It is because we don't know. The answers that bother us so much, it is because we don't know the questions to ask. And we're dumbfounded many times because we don't know what to ask. But you know what? This is what we can do. When we don't know what we should say, when we should say it, we have the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit living inside of us. The Holy Spirit knows all things. How many of you know, raise your hand, that God knows everything about everything? He knows everything about everybody. I remember when I moved to, I think it was Philadelphia, and I said, oh God, I don't know anybody here. And I remember the Spirit of the Lord speaking to me, well, I know everybody. I know everybody everywhere. And I know how to connect you to anybody anytime I want to. So don't worry about who you don't know. Just know that I know everybody. And isn't that beautiful that God knows everybody? He knows the right people to put into our lives. He knows those whom we need to get away from and get away quickly. He knows how to change and shift our lives in such a wonderful way. And he can do it if we will just trust him and know that he loves us with this never-ending, unfailing, uncompromising love because of what he did on the cross. He gave his own life. God loved us so that he gave the Son, but the Son loved us so that he gave his own life for us. He chose. He said, no man take my life. He chose to die. He said, no man take my life, but I lay it down. And if I lay it down, I am able to raise it up again. Yes, yes, and yes. And remember, as he was hanging on the cross, remember the story when he said, when the, one of the thieves said, oh, if you be the Son of God, why don't you call forth your angels so they can get us out of this mess? Why don't you get us all down? Let's get out of here and let's go somewhere. The other thief said, Master, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus looked at him and said, this day would you be in, with me in paradise. So the other thief, the other guy knew that Jesus was the Son of God. He did not question that. But the other one just was going to use it to his advantage to get him off the cross. But that thief, the other one, didn't ask to come down. He just asked to be remembered when he came into his kingdom. I'm thinking that that man was thinking, what an honor to be dying beside the Messiah. What an honor to hang on this cross because I get to be here with him. I get to be part of his story on this cross. I get to behold his glory on the same day that he is going into this grave. I get to be a part of the story. Isn't that amazing how that one man looked at crucifixion and that day and then the other? Isn't that just like the human experience? People see things differently. People respond differently. When we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he says, this day I'll remember you in paradise. This, see, that's how easy it is for you to get surrendered to the Lord. That's how easy it is for you to just turn things over to God and say, okay, Lord, here I am. I'm turning around. I'm going to turn my life over to you. I'm going to trust you with everything that I have. I don't even know what tomorrow looks like, but I know if I put my life into your hands, I can trust you with it. Because after all, heaven has already come. And whatever happens, it's just more of heaven that's going to happen in my life. One way or another, I'm always going to be yours. Heaven has a protocol, ladies and gentlemen, just like South Philly has a protocol. South Philly girls, they would say. West Philly had a different protocol, just the way you behave over here in West Philly. Oh, no, we don't do this in West Philly. We don't do this in North Philly or whatever, South Philly. This is the way people are of Brooklyn, New York. Oh, no, I'm not from Queens. I'm from Brooklyn. people want to define those lines to make sure you know where they're from. I remember when I first came to the America Out Loud Network, I got teased a bit because I am a resident of Arkansas. Yes, yes, and yes, and proud to be a resident of Arkansas. This is where I was born. This is where many of my family live. These are where my natural roots are. Yeah, but here's the thing. I had been around the world and back again. I thank God for many places in the world, not every country like that, but I've been had exposure. And so my exposure to different parts of the world and coming back here to Arkansas, well, you know, I spoke a little differently. I behaved a little differently. And, you know, when people see that, they don't know what to do with it. It's not so, well, you know, what does she really mean? You're a stranger in a strange land. So what did I do about that? You feel strange. You feel odd. And you may feel that way when you first come into the kingdom of God. It's like, okay, what do I do now? How do I be here? How do I walk among this people? How do I articulate? And you know what you do? You learn to be who you are, no matter where you are. And when you learn your, when you discover your God self, that self that you have not met yet, if you've not been born again, and some of you that have been born again, you still have not met your God self. When you meet your God self, the day you meet yourself, you will be comfortable in every zip code. You will be comfortable in every state, wherever you go, because you know that Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Your confidence is not in the zip code. Your confidence is in Christ. So being a child of God, it puts you in a position that it doesn't matter where you live and where you go, you can always come from that place of being true to yourself, regardless of what other people think. You know, they're going to think anything they want. They're going to think anyway, and they're going to say what they're going to say. But the thing is, don't you stop being who God made you. Heaven has a protocol, and that protocol means that you are pulled out of the world. You've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. You are new creature in Christ Jesus. Yes, you are. You have a new DNA. You're not your ancestors. You're not them. You don't think like they think. You don't walk like they walk. You may not go to the same buildings. You don't have the same friends. You don't look at life the same way. You don't even laugh at the same jokes. And I want you to know that that's okay, because you're being true to who you are. They may find things funny that you don't find funny, and it's okay. You don't have to try to fit in. You just focus in on being you. Believe me, that will work. As I said before, Nicodemus had his degrees. He had his intelligence center, but he did not have his revelation of who Jesus was until he had that encounter with him. And Jesus told him, you're a master in Israel. You don't know these things. I'm not for sure what happened to Nicodemus, but I know that Nicodemus had an encounter with Jesus. There are many people who are just happy to go to church. They don't understand what it means to really be the church. They're just happy to be part of a group. They're happy to be part of a community. They're happy to get dressed every Sunday and go in. I'm not being critical. I'm just an observer. And they're happy to just have their name on a pew. And that's what makes them feel comfortable. But for those of us who want a real relationship, it's not about where you sit. It's about who's sitting on the inside of you, and that will transform your world. Matter of fact, it will turn your world right side up when you know that he's sitting on the inside of you, and he's turning your world around and making everything brand new. The things that you could not do for yourself, he is now doing for you. And knowing that he is creating in you a clean heart and renewing within you a right spirit, he's making everything all brand new for you. All you have to do is just ask him to come in. And those of you who have a relationship with him, but you're still hungry, you want a deeper walk with him, you're really crying out, said, Lord, I want more. I don't want to get dry. I don't want to become dormant. I don't want to become mediocre. I want to stay on fire. I want to stay filled with your love and your passion and your compassion for the world. I want your mercy to be renewed in me every day, as the psalmist described it. I want to have a baptism of the Holy Spirit that will last my lifetime. I don't want to be just your standard cookie cutter Christian. I want to have this life that's going to impact nations every day of my life. What is your word to me? What is the message that I can deliver to the world? What is my mission in this next chapter of my life? I want to know. And I know inquiring minds want to know. And we're going to talk more about that right after this pause. Thank you. We're on Intentional.
The Out Loud Perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Whenever you feel that your life needs to change, there's only one thing that you need to do. I promise you. You can go to all of the conferences in the world. You can try all of the different healing modalities, and there are many. But I'm telling you, what you can do is very simple. And you can do it from wherever you are, whether you're in a hotel room, whether you're riding in your car. I suggest you pull over. But you can do this. You just ask Jesus to help you. I promise you, I do it every day. You ask God for his guidance and for his help. Because what do we know? Nicodemus was smart. He was an intellect, but he did not know that you must be born again. So Jesus took time to tell him to live from a place of revelation relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So many people are hungry for that. So many people are seeking that. And it's sad that so many Christians are being mocked and made fun, the criticism on social media. I think it's sad because people who are changing lives, I think you should keep your tongue off of them. Maybe you don't understand them. Maybe you don't get their message quite, but who are you? There's no calling for tongue slayer. There's no calling for the critic or the gossip or, you know, there's no calling for that. And to support that in any way, I think is shameful. Anyone who is out here changing lives for the good and causing people to want to have a better life and a better relationship with God, I say what Jesus says, leave them alone. There was a moment when one of the disciples came to Jesus and told him of John's disciples and said, Master, those guys are over there. They're healing the sick. They're casting out devils. And they don't go to our church. They're not with us. And Jesus said these brilliant words. He said, leave them alone. If they're not against us, then they're for us. Leave them alone. So that's what I'm telling some of you guys that are saying bad things about people in social media. Leave them alone. When I lived in Dallas, and I love the city. I just do. I always did love Dallas. But that's not my zip code. But one of the things that I saw, and it was the first time that I was made aware of it. I'm sure that it's in many places, but I was made aware that there were churches almost every corner. I mean, literally, there were churches in each other's backyard. You could see that church and like, okay, are they sharing the same parking lot? They were just that close. But yet you could see all of these homeless people and all of these other things that were going on. And nothing against Dallas, because leaving Dallas, I saw it in Philly, I saw it in other places. And I began to think, Lord God, we've got to do something. People are so conscious of buildings and not conscious of being the building. So the way I am doing it is God's calling on my life is that we have truly a church without walls, because here you can come in every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and you can hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can give here. We'll pray for you. We'll do what we need to do. Whatever the needs are, we want to meet those needs according to our power, and that is to pray. We know we can pray and to teach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and invite you to contact me. And you can do that at America Out Loud. What is my email address? DrFay@AmericaOutLoud.com. So every city and every community seems to have its dividing lines and its problems. But when you enter the kingdom of God, and when the kingdom of God enters you, you'll discover something different, that there's a different culture. There's a different way of being. There's a different way of living. And one of the ways of living and being is to read the Holy Scriptures, and to read the Holy Scriptures on a daily basis. That's how you keep your mind renewed. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I taught in our Wake Up and Pray group that we were meeting every weekday, but now we meet every Wednesday at 6:30. And we'll post that number so that you can join in with us. But every Wednesday at 6:30 a.m., we spend time in prayer and meditation. We spend time teaching the word, and we just kind of go with the flow. We don't have an agenda. We just kind of go with the flow, and it always works out, because we believe that the people who gather, there are people who are hungry. They need to be refreshed. It's the middle of the week. They want to hear a word. They want to hear a voice, a sound that let them know that they're not crazy. They're not losing it, that they are going to be okay. And we do that inside of Wake Up and Pray. But one of the things that I had taught over the 3 years that we have been doing this is to teach people to keep the main thing the main thing. And that it's not about the building that you go into. It is about the building that you be. That we are the church of God. We are the house of God. And he said in the Holy Scriptures, I will come, I will live in you, I will make my habitation in you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You are the temple of God, a temple not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So we are the house that God dwells in. And since he lives in us, wherever we are, that's where he is. So don't get condemned because you're not sitting someplace on a pew on Sunday morning. If you need to be there, God knows how to lead you to where you need to be. If you don't need to be there, maybe you just need to listen for a while and be still. Maybe you just need to listen to the counsel of God and get to know his voice. Traditions wants to lock you in and say, okay, if you don't go to church, then you're going to go to hell. That's not true, and it's not biblical. So let me just debunk that right now. And I know some pastors are like, oh, you got to get people in church. No, I've got to get people to Christ. That's my mission. My mission has never been, I got to get people into the church. My mission has been to get people to God and let God do whatever he needs to do in their lives, to teach them about Jesus, to show them the Father, to love them. That's what he called me to do, to take his love to the nations. And I'm really clear about my mission, and I'm not backing off of it. That's why we can teach here in this place, a church without walls, and transform the lives of nations and transform your life personally when you hear these truths. Today, we continue this teaching from our Father's DNA, and I am so glad God is my Father, and when Jesus prayed our Father, and we will talk about that in one of the upcoming teachings. Jesus talked to us about our Father. Our Father, collectively, he puts us in the same place as himself when he says our Father. He could have said my Father, but that's not what he did, is it? He said our Father. Our Father, he brought us into the fold, saying, no, I have the same Father you do. Man, that just woo. I have the same Father you do. To know that I have the same Father that Jesus has. Listen to me closely now. I have the same Father that Jesus does, who loves me the same way that he loves Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Why don't you high five yourself and tell somebody, amen. I have the same Father that Jesus does, and who loves me with the same love that he loves Jesus with. So this kingdom of God that is resident within me is so powerful. We could spend days and weeks and months and years staying right there on that place to help people be transformed in their minds. And because people have not heard this liberated gospel, they are soon in bondage to so many other things. And then they start hating church, hating preachers. Oh, you're a preacher. I'm going to run. Oh, you must be. Oh, you know, they get really nervous sometimes when they find out you're a minister. But that I'm not, I want to say, whoa, I'm not that. I'm not the thing that you met. I'm not that thing. So, you know, give me a break here. I want to show you Jesus. I want to show you his love. I want to show you his compassion. I don't believe in church cliques or church, you know, groups. I believe in the body of Christ, and that we are all members of those who have been born again are all members. There is one body of Christ, one Father, one Holy Spirit, and all Christians are the sons and daughters of that one. And I know that there are many labels, and labels do what they do. They divide. And those labels of whether it's different denominations and these people believe different things. And I've heard people tell me, I was born a Baptist and I'm going to die a Baptist. I was born a Methodist and that's what I am. My grandma was Methodist. My grandpa was Methodist. What has that got to do with the blood of Jesus? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It is a culture thing. It's South Philly. It's West Philly. It's, you know, the bottom. It's, you know, those things, and they continue to divide and separate. We want to know what's really the problem in race, with racism in our country. It's religion that's divided, keep dividing and keep dividing. If we could ever get the church, just as in structured churches, building brick and mortar, to realize that divisions, that the divisive spirit is being birthed through that different religions, then we would take some of these labels off. Yeah, I know you don't want to, but that we would remove our labels and just say we are Jesus people, are, you know, and we just want you to love him like we love him. You don't have to come to our building. Just come to my Lord. Isn't that beautiful? I am free enough to teach it that way. I'm not trying to put people on lockdown, just trying to release some people that have been locked down and kept in bondage. We are more than these bodies. We are so magnificent. We are so wonderful. And many people are afraid to express it that way, to say, oh, wow, I'm great. I'm awesome. I'm an influencer. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am a blessing. And they're afraid to pray prayers like Jabez's prayer. Bless me indeed. Make my name great. And they're intimidated. Oh, I just, you know, I don't want to pray that prayer. Well, you know what? That's how God feels about us. We have not because we ask not. So Jesus was teaching Nicodemus, boy, you got to come on to another level. You got to understand from a different place. You got to see through my culture. You got to see through the kingdom culture. You have to obtain a different protocol. When we realize that we are more than these bodies, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Is what he told Nicodemus. So you must be born again. So this process, this born again means that, you know, of course, I was a little chocolate 5'2" girl before I was born again, and I'm still chocolate 5'2". But it didn't change everything on the outside. What changed was the work that was done on the inside. As a born again child of God, now I begin to see that I am spirit. I have a soul and I live in a body. That the true self of myself is not this outer shelf. The true self of myself is the self beyond this brown skin. It is the true self of myself that makes all of us the same who were born again, one spirit, one body. Yes, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We are all of that one. And so being spirit, I have to have spiritual food. I have to have spiritual experiences so that I can learn how to live in a spiritual plane, which is heaven, heaven's protocol. I have to learn how to live from that spiritual place. So in order to do that, I have to read the Holy Scriptures. I have to pray. I don't have to, but I should pray. I fast, sing psalms, do a spiritual work, do what God's calling my heart to do, understand his walk. Spend some time. How do you build relationships? You spend time with the people you love. You spend time with the person you want to build a relationship with. You don't date anybody that you've ever met before. Ladies, get off of Facebook dating people. You don't date people that you can't touch and look at their ID, okay? You don't do those sort of things. You date people that you can touch, see, you know, who your mama, boy, you know, who's your family? Where do you come from? You got to build relationships. So we get to know him by inquiring, getting into his scriptures and asking him questions and listening to the answers, learning to develop this relationship. And as we do that, we begin to build a trust. And that trust, when he asks us to do something, we'll trust him. If he said, get out of the boat and walk on the water, you'll get out of the boat and walk on the water. If he says to, you know what, pick up and move to Arkansas. Your mom needs you. Go there. You'll just do what he says to do, regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what you feel, regardless of what you're in the middle of. You have to pick up and do what he's called you to do. And he will honor that and bless you for your obedience. But you cannot be obedient if you don't know his voice and you don't know the Holy Scriptures. You have to know the Holy Scriptures. Get into his word. Start reading. He will help you to learn how to hear his voice. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and as strangers, they will not follow. I am so glad we are more than these bodies. In 3 John verse 2, it says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. You may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Yeah, that's what John was writing, because we know God does not wish upon a star. God does not wish. So the apostle John here is saying to the church there, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper. He understood that your mind has to be renewed. Why? Because the soul houses the mind, the will, the emotions, the intellect, and desires. That's where our soul, those things are housed in our souls. Those parts of us are housed in our souls because we're more than bodies. Yes, yes, and yes. And so these bodies, we have our soul intact. So the soul is where we get the mind renewed. It's the emotional center. It's our will to do good or evil if we don't have the goodness in us. And our emotions, will, the intellect, the ability to process data and information, the ability to reason are all there in the soul. So as our soul prospers, then the rest of us will prosper. You see, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So as we think in our spirit, which is the center, in our heart, that's the center of spirit, in our heart, so are we. As we think, so are we. We can't give away what we don't possess. Whatever, if we have renewed our minds, we will soon find out we will have a renewed life. I can't believe it. We're almost out of time. That means it's been good, y'all. I've been having a great, great time with you guys today. I so appreciate your staying with me and listening and gleaning from these fields, learning to grow and to glow in the spirit, because that's what God wants us to do. I appreciate your feedback, your reviews on iTunes, sharing this service, this message across social media, so sharing this time across social media right here on Intentional, as well as the other broadcasts. I am your 7-Eleven talk show host here every day at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on the America Out Loud platform. Don't forget to join my co-host and I at 5 o'clock p.m. weekdays for Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. And have you been nozzled yet? If not, you got a nozzle tonight, or a nozzle on weeknights at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with 7 p.m. for the podcast. Check out AmericaOutLoud.com and look at the new show lineup. Some exciting things are happening, especially Talking While Marriage. Dr. Ron and Linda Martinelli are there 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every weekday right there on the America Out Loud, right here on the America Out Loud platform. I love you, respect you, and appreciate you so much. Let me hear from you at drfaye@americaoutloud.com. Don't forget to pick up the book, Our Father's DNA, Switched at Birth. We'll see you next time. Be blessed and have an amazing week.